Okay, today's topic, it's actually two topics in one. They're very closely related. The first one is doing business, working, doing deals, transactions during the 9 days. And then we're going to go on to have the same discussion, a related discussion about how about during Tisha B'Av itself, on Tisha B'Av. Can we be working? Can we not be working? Do we have to stay home? Can we be doing deals if we have no other choice? So we're going to divide up 9 days and then Tisha B'Av. So I'm going to start out with the following question. This was posed by somebody in Los Angeles who owns a very large company, an international company. He had the opportunity of closing a deal, purchasing a competitor. And these deals have a life of their own. And they were doing due diligence and researching and negotiating. And it turned out that the deal would close during the 9 days. And he said, that's not a propitious time to close a deal. Let me push it off until after the 9 days. And meanwhile, a third competitor purchased the other company that he was negotiating for. So he lost the deal. 3 years later, he was able to purchase the company, his target company that he was trying to purchase, but at a much higher price. So his question, and he has an analysis on this as well, is, are you permitted to close the deal during the 9 days? And what happens if it drags out and it wants to close? The ability is to close it only on Tisha B'Av. Can you close it on Tisha B'Av? So we're going to bifurcate and discuss each of those 9 days and Tisha B'Av. So there's a Gemara in Yevamos when it comes to discussing doing business during the 9 days. It says as follows, Ha'am mematim b'iskehim milisa milita. And during the 9 days, we are mema'et. That means we decrease our business transactions during this time of year, during the 9 days, and also other activities as well. We don't build, we don't plant orchards, we don't get married when we don't have marriages. So there are various activities that we don't do during the 9 days. So what's interesting here is the question, does this apply across the board to all business activities? We can't even go to work? Or does it simply apply to business activities that may bring a simcha? For example, you're negotiating with the caterer for your son's or daughter's wedding, or buying clothing for a wedding. Things that bring a simcha, is that the problem, or is it across the board? Any business activities we have to either decrease or we have to do away with fully so we can focus during the 9 days on the avelus at this time of year. So we're going to see now three different opinions on that, what this means that we decrease our business activities during the 9 days. So the first one leverages a Yerushalmi on the Mishnah, very famous Mishnah, that says, Mishnichnas Av, Mematim V'Simcha. When Av, the Chodesh Av, as soon as Rosh Chodesh Av kicks in, we decrease our Simcha. And the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, brings an example for that, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, building something for Simcha. If you're building a special addition to your house to bring you Simcha, you're building a guest house, you're building a second home, a vacation home, that would all bring a Simcha. That would be construction for Simcha and would be prohibited during the 9 days. However, if it's something that's necessary, says the Yerushalmi, for example, the wall between you and your neighbors is about to fall, your roof is about to cave in or something like that, that's clearly something that's necessary. It's not that you're doing it for purposes of Simcha, and that would be permitted during the 9 days. So based on that, Tosfos brings an opinion that says that that same concept that applies to construction, that construction is prohibited if it's for Simcha, but for needs, non-Simcha purposes, that don't bring you happiness, it's permitted. There's an opinion brought in Tosfos that leverages that same concept when it comes to business transactions. So Tosfos on Yevamos Mem Gimel on Amud Aleph says as follows, V'yesh Meforshim Demasa Umatan. There's an opinion that says that business transactions also Airi B'shal Simcha Kegon Tzarchei Chupa, that the prohibition applies only when the business transactions relate to Simcha, for example, organizing a chupa, signing up that catering hall, ordering the flowers for the wedding, all of those bring a simcha or related to a simcha, that will be prohibited. But this in no way, according to the first opinion, prohibits us from doing deals, transacting business, going to our jobs, receiving a salary, all of that would be permitted. So opinion number one brought by Tosfos is not the opinion of Tosfos itself. He's simply bringing this opinion, is that business activities that bring us happiness, that those are problematic, relate to Simcha, those are problematic, but otherwise, not a problem. Tosfos disagrees with that opinion. He just brings that opinion. And he says as follows, and he brings his own opinion, Nira deriboy masa umatan ka'asu. He says, what the problem is having a lot of normal business transactions, what we have to do is we have to decrease our business transactions during the 9 days based on our standard. Meaning we have to decrease it somewhat. And that's indeed how we started out with the Gemara in Yevamos on Mimati. We have to decrease our business activities. He says that applies not only for business activities that bring a simcha, but it applies to all of our business activities during the 9 days. We should look to decrease them. So far we have two opinions. Opinion number one, if it relates to simcha, we can't do it. Number two is we have to decrease all business activities, even if it doesn't relate to simcha.
Decreasing the business activities, the proper avoda is to
do what? Is it to focus on the 9 days. Focus, learning about the korban. Yeah, there are two reasons. It's a great question. Number one is what should we focus on? And we'll see that even more on Tisha B'Av. And also, this is not a propitious time of year. So this is not a good time of year for us to be engaging in these activities. So let's decrease it. Let's see what we can to decrease and bring it. He doesn't necessarily say bring it to the minimum, but he says decrease it based on what our norm would be. So the first, he says, it relates to simcha. Meaning, doing things for a wedding, organizing things for a wedding, maybe that's a little painful for you, but ultimately we're planning a simcha. Planning a simcha. I mean, your question would be, how about if I enjoy my job? I have simcha from working. So we'll talk about that a little bit later when it comes to Tisha B'Av. And let me just get a little bit more ground and then we'll take... So the third opinion. So far we have two opinions. The third opinion goes as follows, says the tour. This is the most machmir shita, the strictest opinion. Sha'asru kol masa umatan. There is a prohibition during the 9 days that applies to all business activities. Kamosha avel asr bakol. So that because an avel, avelu, somebody sitting shiva, is prohibited from doing all business activities. Somebody's an avel doesn't go to work. Somebody who's avel doesn't check his business emails. You don't do that when you are in Avelu, sitting Shiva on a close relative. He says that's the same concept here. During the 9 days, we are in Avelus. And he says explicitly what you were getting at, Kadeshu Nirin Kamis Avlin Al Yushlem. So we give off the appearance and we actually are mourning over Yerushalayim. That should be our focus at that time. So the tour here is the third opinion. Opinion number one is that we don't engage in business activities that relate to simcha. Number two is we decrease all business activities, whether it relates to simcha or not. And number three is business activities are prohibited, period. Not decreased. Close the shop during the 9 days. So the Beis Yosef, writing approximately 500 years ago on this tour, this was the tour's opinion, that we are like Avelim, just like an Avel during Shiva, can't do it, engage in business activities. So to us, during the 9 days, we can't engage in business activities. The Beis Yosef, in his commentary on the tour, says as follows, I saw the people, Bnei Bodin, certain community, that they were noheg, that like this third shita, that they closed all their business activities during the 9 days, and he says as follows, there's no basis for this chumrah. There is no need to close up the shop and take 9 vacation days. Well, Saturday and Sunday we won't be working anyway, but hopefully, certainly not Sunday. So certainly not Saturday, Sunday, who knows, maybe you're working. So 9 days to use your vacation days. He said there's no basis for this chumrah. And he continues a little bit later, Chumra Yaseir, this is an unnecessary, unsubstantiated Chumra, stringency, Dafilu Malacha Mamish, because if you look at the Halacha, which we'll talk about a little bit, even doing real Malacha, meaning we're going to distinguish between Malacha, which is like hoeing in the field, and plowing, and digging a ditch in the field, and business activities which aren't as strenuous. They don't take as much out of us. Masu matan dealings, business dealings, that's basically what we do nowadays. We're not doing hard labor. He says even when it comes to Tisha B'Av, as we'll see shortly, there's not an absolute prohibition to do malacha. And certainly, he says then, there's not going to be an absolute prohibition to do business activities. He says, so let's leave it with Tisha B'Av that we should be ma'achmir, as we'll get to in a little bit. But when it comes to the 9 days, the Beis Yosef disagrees with the Torah and says we don't have to be ma'achmir. We don't have to be strict. we don't have to prohibit absolutely across the board business activity. So it comes out, we have three opinions right now. How does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? So we saw in the Beis Yosef, he's not going in the direction of number three, that you have to prohibit everything, right? So how about number one or number two? That has real nafkamina, real ramifications for us. Is it simply that we can't be involved in festive activities, stuff that are related to Simcha, like Shita number one? Or is it really you have to make an effort to tell certain clients, certain business activities, we have to say, I can't engage in it. I have to decrease and focus on the avelus of this time of the year. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins as follows. Mirosh Chodesh ad hatanis mima'atin b'masa u'b'matan. From Rosh Chodesh Av until the fast, until Tisha B'Av, we decrease our business activities. What opinion is like that? What opinion is he like? Number one or two? Number two. And the Ramah says as follows, the same thing, Masu Mata de Mamatina. We decrease business activities during the 9 days. So maybe we have to leave a little bit early from work. Maybe if we're a doctor, we shouldn't book as many clients. If we're a consultant, maybe don't start the new consulting gig during the 9 days. It depends, each for his own, but we should decrease so we have more time to spend on the Avelis. Now, what's interesting, the Magen Avraham comes and comments and says, we read the Shulchan Aruch wrong. The Magen Avraham, one of the major commentaries in the Shulchan Aruch, said we read it wrong. How can we read it wrong? Mirosh Chodesh Aratanis Mimatin B'Masu V'Matan. From Rosh Chodesh until Tisha B'Av, you decrease business activities. It's kind of simple. He says that's the second opinion. It's not the first opinion. He says, but keep on reading. Ubibinyan Shel Simcha. There's a continuation. He says, from Rosh Chodesh until Tisha B'Av, we decrease business activities and building of Simcha. The word Shel Simcha, is that coming to modify construction? That we can't do construction for Simcha and not business activities, which is right before it? That's how we read it before. We read it this way. From Rosh Chodesh until the fast of Tisha B'Av, we have to decrease business activities across the board. And also, we have to not build things that bring a Simcha. But he's saying that's not how to read it. The Shel Simcha of happiness is modifying not only what's right before it, which is construction, but what's before that as well, which is business activities. So the Shulchan Aruch is saying that we need to decrease business activities, which brings us Simcha, and we need to also not engage in construction, which brings us Simcha. This has a major nafkamina for us. How do we read this Shulchan Aruch? Is he in Shita number one, that it's only a problem if it relates to Simcha? Or is it number two, Shita number two, that it's across the board, we have to decrease even if it does not relate to Simcha? That is a big nafkamina for us. But in fact, truth be told, says the Beis Yosef as follows, Na'achshav lo nahagu rov ha'olam lema'et b'masu umatan klal mishenichnasav. The Beis Yosef says that, truth be told, despite the fact that we have these shitas that say you shouldn't be involved in Simcha, you have to decrease your business activities, so the Torah says you can't be involved in any business activities, that's not the minhag nowadays. The minhag, because this is based on minhag. And the minhag nowadays, it says people are going out to work. People need to work. They need to earn a parnasa. So he says, lo nahagu rov olam, the majority of the Jewish world does not even decrease business activities during the month of Av, even from Rosh Chodesh, even during the 9 days. In the Mishnah Brura, writing approximately 100 and something years ago, Bizmanenu, in my time, Nahagu lahakel b'chozeh, we are lenient in all of this, Mishum dahakol nechshav ke'es k'dei parnasatenu, everything, all of these activities are necessary for our parnas. So we can't simply close the office during the 9 days, close the makolet, say we're not going to work in the fields for 9 days. This is all necessary for earning our livelihood. So we see, interestingly, that despite the fact that the Shulchan Aruch says we paskin like Shita number one or number two, depending on how you read the Shulchan Aruch, but in the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo wrote the Shulchan Aruch in the Beis Yosef, he says nowadays we're lenient on this, and the Mishnah Berurah says we are lenient on this. Now in the Shar HaTzion, which is also written by the Mishnah Berurah, it's comments on the bottom, he says that when it comes to Simcha, things that relate to Simcha, that even that is a machlokas nowadays. Can we be engaged in things that relate to Simcha, business of setting up the chasada and setting up other things, or do we have to be machmir on it? At the end of the day, he says if we can be machmir, we should be machmir on things that relate to Simcha. But the mitzias is, I've never met anyone who does not go to work during the 9 days, or who decreases during the 9 days because of this. So that's the minhag, is to be lenient when it comes to the 9 days. Let me get a couple more points and then I'll take questions. What was that?
The short sale says he's never seen anybody.
No, I'm saying that. Ari Wasserman is saying, I've never seen anyone that's makel on this. Now, just a couple other points. There are limitations on related issues, like buying a new car during the 3 weeks or the 9 days, things that we would say shechayanu. So somebody buying a new car for himself, that should not be done during the 3 weeks. We avoid saying shechayanu if possible. If it's a family car, we're makel, it's not a shechayanu. We say a different bracha on it, atov v'ameitiv. If it's a work car, we're lenient. There are also limitations on buying a new apartment, moving into a new apartment. So it really depends on the situation. If you don't have a place to live, obviously you can. But ask a shaila when it comes to all those related issues. We're talking specifically about, can you go to the job? Can you work? Can you do business deals? So the bottom line is, when it came to our initial question, if you have no other choice but to close the deal during the 9 days, and you think you're going to lose the company you're acquiring, there's not going to be a problem closing the deal during the 9 days. Okay, that is part number one. When it comes to business activities during the 9 days, I will recap. We said that there are three different opinions. Opinion number one is that we should only avoid business activities that relate to Simcha. Number two is we have to decrease all business activities. Number three is it's prohibited, just like an Avel. And we paskin indeed like either one or two in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Mitzias is people are lenient on this nowadays. People are involved in business activities, but when you have a big deal comes up, you should ask a question on that. Is the best time or is it not the best time? We don't have to lose that big deal, but indeed this is maybe during the 3 weeks. I asked this question through Rav Zvulun Schwartzman, and he says if you can avoid closing the deal during the entire 3 weeks, that is preferable. We do have the concept still of Mishnichnas Av Mematin B'Simcha, that's Simcha, but we also have another concept that we, during Av, should not be involved in a litigation with a non-Jew. And the concept here is during Av, our mazel is not good. Our mazel is not good, as in contrast to the month where we have Purim, that we have a strong mazel. This is a poor mazel that we have. So if we don't have to be involved in these various activities, they should be avoided. Okay, let's fast forward to the next question. How about Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av itself. We're working full steam forward. Erev Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is coming up.
So just in terms of clarifying to decrease Simcha, is it in terms of what you're financing that will cause Simcha, or in the finances itself that will cause you Simcha?
Are you saying in opinion number one, things that relate to Simcha, or decrease? So things that relate to Simcha.
Yeah, so by that more often, is that the case that, like, it's not about how much money it is, it's about whether or not it's pertaining to a Simcha?
Yeah, it was pertaining to Simcha. The examples, like Torah HaShochan brings, buying special clothing for a chasana, buying the special buttons, you know, buying that tuxedo, whatever it may be, it relates to a Simcha. It's not saying that I really enjoy earning money, so that brings me Simcha. That's not really what we're talking about. You know, people enjoy their jobs. We'll talk about that on Tisha B'Av. If there's a problem working on Tisha B'Av because you enjoy working, the working in of itself, but it's items that relate to a Simcha we shouldn't be planning and working on at that time.
Two then says, don't do the big deal, not because it gives you Simcha, but because you're trying to decrease.
Yeah. Two is regardless of Simcha. It has nothing to do with Simcha. Yeah. We got to decrease at this time of the year. Focus on the Avelus.
And the last question, what about someone has a birthday in the 9 days? It's like usually every year.
I have two daughters that have that, and it's a little depressing to have that birthday during the 9 days. And there's a concept of Nidche, pushing it off, right? So, you know, I have it at Chatzos, you also, yes.
But they have
good mazel,
I thought.
This is real mazel we're talking about. That's like quasi-mazel on somebody's birthday. You know, if you want to have a piece of pizza, there's no problem with it. It shouldn't be a real celebration over myself. But it's still your birthday, and you can still do mitzvahs. It's a whole discussion of what should we do to celebrate our birthdays. And some of the poskim have said that it's a day of either seriousness of introspection, to say, what can I accomplish this coming year? And others have said it's a day of Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we have another year. And others say that we should focus on doing mitzvahs on that day, because just like a Shana Rishona, the first year after marriage, starting off on the right foot, we should start off our birthday on the right foot. So certainly that could apply. It's just we shouldn't be violating anything, having real simcha, music, dancing. Yes, it's my birthday, Baruch Hashem, I'm here. But we should say Baruch Hashem, I'm here. But The celebration side we should tone down. Probably not the best time to have the birthday parties for the kids during the 9 days, right? So you just push it off till right afterward if it's the real celebration. Okay, so our next question is as follows. How about Tisha B'Av? So the following happened to somebody I know fairly well, moved from New York to Los Angeles, started looking around for a job, and needed some leads. So this individual, we'll call him Michael, was set up to meet a fairly well-connected and successful business person who had a lot of contacts in Los Angeles. So they set up a meeting, and it fell through. The time didn't work out for one of the sides, and they set up a meeting again, and it didn't fall. It fell through again, and it happened again, and it wasn't looking good at a certain point, even if it's not Michael's fault, or there were conflicts in the time, or whatever. So it sounded like the business person was about to give up. This is too big a hassle for me, trying to set up a time to meet and help somebody get a job and introduce them to people that a mutual friend. So they set a date and a time, and they were going to meet. Everything's looking good, except then Michael looked on the calendar. It was on Tisha B'Av. So the question is he allowed to take that meeting? Or is he not allowed to take the meeting? And Michael's sincere view and feeling was this was my last opportunity. If I cancel for any reason, this guy is not going to be willing to meet with me again. So when it comes to working on Tisha B'Av, and this is an incredibly relevant issue, it comes up unless Tisha B'Av falls on Sunday. This is going to come up for people who are working. It's going to come up every year. Can you work on Tisha B'Av? Can you go to the job? Now, we also have limitations on the shoes that we wear, and we're looking a little bit scruffy. We had last time the discussion of, for Sfaradim, Shavua Shechalva, no shaving for Ashkenazim, the entire 3 weeks, unless a heter applies that we would have a financial loss, which is unlikely. So we're going and we're looking scruffy, but we're going to the job, or can we not go to the job? So there's a Mishnah in Pesachim that says as follows, on a high level, whether we can work or not work on Tisha B'Av depends on the minhag hamakom. It depends, is the minhag of that place that people in the Orthodox Jewish community work or they don't work, and we are drawn after the minhag. In other words, if the minhag is to not work, we are required to refrain from working, and if the minhag is to be lenient, then we are permitted to work. It doesn't mean we are required to work, but we are permitted to work. So I'll read the Mishnah as follows. It's a Mishnah in Pesachim, Nun Dalet Amabes, Makom Shenagu Lasos Melacha B'Tisha B'Av, places that the minhag is that people are lenient and they do work on Tisha B'Av Osin. It's permitted to work on Tisha B'Av. Makom Shenagu Shelo Lasos Melacha. However, if we have a place that the minhag is to be strict and not do malach on Tisha B'Av, to not work, Ein Osim, it's prohibited to do malach on Tisha B'Av. And the Mishnah continues, and regardless, a Talmud Chacham should refrain from doing work on Tisha B'Av. And then Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says everyone should make himself a Talmud Chacham for this purpose. In other words, normally, we'd say if you're not a Talmud Chacham, don't act like a Talmud Chacham, and if you do, it's a sign of arrogance. But when it comes to this, when it comes to working, everyone can make themselves like a Talmud Chacham and not work, and if, even in a place that people do work, it's not going to be looked at as arrogance. You're going to be able to focus on the Chorban, and also people are just going to assume you're simply out of work or you don't have work to do. It's not they're going to say, oh, he's making himself like a Talmud Chacham. So we see from here that it depends on the minhag hamakom. In a place that people are strict, we are not permitted to work on Tisha B'Av. And the question is, why not? Why is it preferable? And why should everyone make himself into Talmud Chacham when it comes to Tisha B'Av that we shouldn't work? So there are a number of reasons. I'll give four reasons. The first one, and the main one really, and this is brought by the Bar Tanur and others, is so we can focus on the Avelus, like your question before. Tisha B'Av is a day of mourning. Tisha B'Av is a day to focus on our loss. It's not a day to be focusing on the job. And accordingly, if we're at the job, by definition, we are not focusing on the loss of the destruction of the temple. So that is number one. So we don't have a hesach hadas. We don't have an interruption of our focus on the mourning, so we should not be working. And in fact, that's a really important point when it comes to defining what does work mean. Because we're not defining work as like Shabbos, that you can't do borer, or you can't turn on the car, even if you have to get to shul for kinos. That's not what the definition of work is. Work is defined as things that will distract me. In other words, if it's a quick activity, I can turn on the car, I can drive to shul, not a problem. Shabbos, you obviously can't do it. We're not defining work as the same. That's not something that's going to keep my mind off the avelus. That's facilitating my getting to shul. I can tie a double knot on my shoe. Not a problem. That's something quick that is necessary. And accordingly, I can do it. It's not keeping my mind off the avelus, but things that otherwise would be even plebeian activities, but it's going to draw out. Moving, schlepping things, those are things that shouldn't be done on Tisha B'Av unless it's necessary, because I need to focus on the avelus. So reason number one why we should not be working, certainly the makom, the places that there are no ache to not work, and why everyone, even in a place where the minhag is to be lenient, everyone should really make himself into Talmud Chacham and not work, is so we can focus on the avelus. That is indeed number one. Number two is interesting, and we're going to explain number two in different ways, that it's because of the inui. It's because kadesh shi'isan, it's enable us to feel the affliction of the fast. So what does that mean? So the Truma Sedeshin says as follows, this may seem to sound a little bit strange, it's an inui, it's an affliction for people when they don't work. In other words, people, for the most part, enjoy their jobs. Let's hope they enjoy their jobs. I've had jobs that I've loved, and I've had jobs that I have been miserable at. Miserable at. So, but the default is, we like working, we like being at our jobs, hopefully, and if we cannot go to work, that inflicts us. We feel the pain, and that's the motif of the day, that we should feel affliction. So we should avoid the work and feel the affliction of not going to work. That's one explanation. We're all here at number two. Another explanation is that if we're at the job and working hard, it could cause us to be unable to fast, because we may get hungrier when we're working hard at the job. So that's relating to the affliction. Either not being at work causes us to be afflicted by working, or being at work causes us affliction because we're unable to continue fasting. Either way, what? There's a Truma Sedeshin that says the first one, and the second one is a Kolbo. The Kolbo says as follows: Eshar mitoch Torah Hamalacha, because we're working hard, shelo yuchal isanas, we may be unable to fast. That's a Kolbo.
So make it harder to fast.
Yeah, but then we won't be able to fast. We're going to have to break our fast. So I don't know if the concept here is we want to feel more and more pain, right? The concept is the halacha tells us the actions that we have to do, and we should keep to the actions, but it doesn't mean that we should bring on more pain than is necessary, because then we're not going to be able to fast. So that's his concern. Number three and number four, I'm just going to mention quickly, there's a Truma Sedeshin that says that there's certain parallels between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Certain parallels, they're very different types of fast, very different natures to them. But he says there are certain parallels. The only fast that we have in the Chumash is Yom Kippur. So I guess we're going to learn certain things from Yom Kippur. And one of the things that we learn is, just like on Yom Kippur we're not allowed to work, so too on Tisha B'Av we shouldn't work. So he says there are parallels there. There are others that say there are parallels between Chol HaMoed, and we'll see this a little bit later, Chol HaMoed, which is a festive day, and also Tisha B'Av in Eicha, in the first parak, Tisha B'Av is actually called Moed. So because of that, we learn certain halachas from Chol HaMoed, as we'll see in a little bit. I'll get into more depth in a little bit. Because of the parallels there, just like on Chol HaMoed, we have limitations on working, and certain things are permitted to work on, so too when it comes to Tisha B'Av, we have limitations on working, but certain things are permitted as well. Okay, so real quickly, we've said that the ability to work or not work depends on the minhag makom. We brought four different reasons why we should refrain from working. First and foremost, primary, is that we should be focused on the avelus of the day. Number two, because it relates to the affliction. Not working is an affliction for us. Or if we go to work, we won't be able to be afflicted, we won't be able to eat. That's all number two. Number three is a connection to Yom Kippur, which we did not define very well, but some connection to Yom Kippur, just like we don't work on Yom Kippur, so it's on Tisha B'Av, or some connection to Chol HaMoed, just like we have limitations on working Chol HaMoed, we have limitations on working on Tisha B'Av. So when it comes to the Psak Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch, he says as follows, just like the Mishnah, Makom Shenagu Lasos Melacha B'Tisha B'Av, places that we are nohag to be lenient and work on Tisha B'Av, it's permitted to work on Tisha B'Av. However, b'makom shenagul shelo lasos, places that the minhag to not work on Tisha B'Av, we do not do work. Places that I've seen are typically machmir on this. Living in Yerushalayim, certainly no one is working, hopefully, on on Tisha B'Av, we should be focusing on the Avelus, but being in New York and being in Los Angeles, I don't remember really. Certainly there were certain people that had to go into the office, a doctor has to take care of patients, etc. But I think for the most part, people are refraining from working on Chol HaMoed, on Tisha B'Av. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah says as follows, Shinagu Shelo Lasos Melacha B'Medinaseinu. The Mishnah Berurah is saying, in his Medina where he lived, the minhag was for people to not work on Tisha B'Av. He said they worked during the 9 days in the first segment of the year, but during Tisha B'Av, people were makbid to not work. Now, I do want to divide this up between segments, parts of the day, because typically we know that we are more lenient after Chatzosayim. For example, we sit on the floor up until Chatzos, but after Chatzos, we're lenient and we can sit on regular chairs. We don't put on talis and tefillin in the morning, at least Ashkenazim, but we do put on when it comes to mincha, even if we daven at the earliest mincha. Right? For example, if chatzos is at 1 o'clock and the earliest mincha is at 1:30, we're putting on our talis and tefillin at that time. So how about when it comes to working after chatzos? And the other question is, do the prohibition only apply during the day of Tisha B'Av, or does it also apply the night before? Because Tisha B'Av starts from the night, so do we have to be makbid also the night before? So we'll talk first about Chatzos. So when it comes to Chatzos, midpoint, halachic midpoint in the day, the Rama in Shulchan Aruch Paskins as follows, V'lo nahagu be'isr malacha ki'imat Chatzos. We are not noheg to not work except until Chatzos. In other words, the prohibition is up until Chatzos. After Chatzos, based on that, we are lenient. We are lenient when it comes to working. We'll define this in a little bit. So the Rama say, up until Chatzos, that is when we have to be strict to not work. Thereafter, we can be lenient. Now, there's a fascinating Orach HaShulchan. The Orach HaShulchan lived, he was a contemporary of the Mishnah Berurah, and he says, in his time, the language is very interesting. Haminag rak ad achar amira sakinos. Our minag, says the Orach HaShulchan, is we're only strict to not work up until the end of saying the kinos, the lamentations that are said in Shachris on Tisha B'Av, up until kinos, even though he says we should continue the minhagim of Avelus and not working up until Chatzos. In other words, they wouldn't say their kinos up until Chatzos. Some places are strict, they'll say the kinos up until 1 in the afternoon. Other places, they say the kinos, it really depends on two factors. Number one, what time do you start saying shachris and kinos, and how long do you say them for? So those two factors. But the Orach HaShulchan is saying, in his time, they used to say the kinos in the morning, they ended before chatzos, and then people went out to work. They went out to work before chatzos. Why? Because docha kaparnasa, they were under stress, financial stress to be at work, that they didn't have the ability to take off even up until Chatzos. Yeah?
So if he's saying that it's being machmer by not going out to work before kinos, that kind of sounds like kinos are optional.
No, he's saying up until the time that Tzibor finished Chatzos. So whenever the Tzibor finished Chatzos, that's when the leniency would kick in. But before that, if somebody couldn't come or whatever, you can't leave early, right? There's a prohibition until we finish kinos. That's when it would be. Yeah. Okay. So that's when it comes, and I'm going to get back to this concept up until chatzos, after chatzos, in a little bit. That distinction. Let's just talk about the night of Tisha B'Av. So I remember one time I was in Los Angeles in a specific shul, and I saw there that in the shul, sitting on the floor on a low stool, was a successful CEO, very frum guy, and he's on his BlackBerry. We didn't have smartphones at the time. It was the BlackBerry. It was the way that you used to communicate. And he's doing business there in the middle of Shul, Tisha B'Av night. And it strikes me as a little bit bizarre. Firstly, you shouldn't have the technology in the Shul. I know some people daven from it. That could be one thing. But people are oftentimes transacting business and emailing for work purposes. That is clearly us, or there's no heter for that, so you shouldn't be doing that. And in particular, it's Tisha B'Av, but maybe it's different because it was Tisha B'Av night. At the beginning of Tisha B'Av, maybe we're not in the throes of the Avelus yet. So the Magen Avraham says as follows, that the concept here is not working because we shouldn't have a Hesach Hadas from the Avelus, that we focus on the Avelus and we don't have an interruption, a mental, emotional interruption from focusing on the Avelus of the Churban. He says, nearly the matam zeh, based on this reasoning, the night is also prohibited to do work. You can't do work in the night either. If you look at all the poskim, they don't distinguish between night and day. In other words, they just say there's a blanket prohibition, or we should not be working, certainly in places that they don't work, and everyone should make themselves a Talmud Chacham. He says from the poskim, they don't distinguish between night and day. Obviously, then we don't distinguish. We need to be focusing on the Avelu. So that's the opinion of the Magen Avraham. That's what the Mishnah Berurah brings as well. And the Ksav Sofer is even stricter than that. He says, V'yeshtam usfora la'achmi yoser b'laylu mi'biyom. In fact, he says we should be even stricter at night than the daytime when it comes to this concept of not working. Why? Because if the whole concept here is not having a hesach hadas, not having an interruption from our focus on the Avelus, certainly at the beginning of the Avelus, when we're just starting out, we have to be stricter about it and start on the right foot. So he says there's a basis to be even stricter at night than in the daytime. So in fact, this person who is emailing for work at night, based on the Magen Avraham, the Ksav Sofer, that is highly problematic. Nonetheless, there is an Or Zarua that says the Balayla, this whole concept here of not working on Tisha B'Av is based on Minag. And he says, and this was a few hundred years ago, he says at nighttime, at his time, it wasn't the minhag to be strict about this. I think that it is absolutely the minhag nowadays that people do not work the night of Tisha B'Av. No way. We're not working the night. We're not working in the morning up until Chatzos. We'll get back to Chatzos in a little bit. Just to mention, we're talking about work. Truth be told, we're talking about real malacha. Heavy labor, working in the field, stuff that we don't do so much nowadays. Nowadays we do pragmatia, which is business. We're at computers, we're doing other things, we're writing contracts, we're doing spreadsheets, we're doing analysis. So the same thing applies, says the Shulchan Aruch. He says that in a place that they don't do business, they don't do these activities, we don't do it. A place that they're lenient, you can be lenient. It's all based on the minhag makom. And why would we be strict also when it comes to our business activities? Number one, it brings a simcha to work. It does. Baruch Hashem, we work. We enjoy our jobs, hopefully. It brings a simcha. That's not something that we should be feeling on this day of Tisha B'Av. And at a minimum, even if we don't enjoy our jobs, which is very possible as well, but it is going to take us off the focus of the Avelu. So that's why this applies to Malacha. It applies to what's called Pragmatia. Pragmatia is business transactions, also called Masa Umatan, dealings back and forth. It applies to all of those. Now, having said that, it depends on the Minhag. And the implication then is in a place that they're lenient, you can be lenient even in the morning of Tisha B'Av, right? Even in the morning, even the night of Tisha B'Av, there's a Gemara in Tainus that says as follows, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kola osa malacha b'tisha b'av eino roa siman bracha la'olam. Anyone who does work on Tisha B'Av will not see a siman bracha forever. And what does that mean? So Rashi says, from the work that you do on Tisha B'Av, you're not going to see a Siman Bracha. And then Mefarshim explained, even if you got paid. I got paid for what I did. I did see a Siman Bracha. It'll come out from somewhere else. You'll have a debit from somewhere. You got a credit here, you'll get a debit here. So that's what Rashi says. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says.
That implies that you're allowed to.
No, you're going to lose out.
I know, but the fact that it's not
necessary. Well, Mi'ikar is talking about in a place that the minhag is to be lenient. So even in a place where the minhag is to be lenient, you're not going to see a siman bracha from your work. That's the Mefarshim on the Gemara. The bracha says you're not going to see a siman bracha, and a number of the poskim say that applies even in a place where the minhag is to be lenient, you're still not going to see a siman bracha on it. Yeah. Yeah, that's the parallel. Very good. And we'll even have more parallels in a little bit. Thank you. Very good point. Just like Chol HaMoed. Okay, so continuing. Now, some of the Mefarshim Tosfos, for example, says as follows. Not only that you're not going to see a Siman Bracha from the work that you do on Tisha B'Av, he says, but also Malacha Shiragi La'asos B'Tisha B'Av. You're not going to see a Siman Bracha from that type of work that you're doing on Tisha B'Av. In other words, it's not going to be limited to what you earn on Tisha B'Av. That type of work that you did on Tisha B'Av, you're not going to see a Siman Bracha the whole year from that. So it's even stricter than that, but it doesn't matter. Whether we say it's only a Siman Bracha from that work or it's broader than that, we see here that the Gemara is telling us, even in a place that the minhag is to be lenient and allow us, Mi'ikar HaDin, to work, nonetheless, we should be machmir on it. We should be machmir. It's not something that is propitious. It's not something that we'll see a siman bracha from. Now, the Magen Avraham says that going back to after Chatzos Hayom, we said there that the Ramah Paskins, we can be lenient after Chatzos Hayom. Comes midpoint of the day, approximately 1 p.m. in Yerushalayim and other places in the States, approximately whatever the calendar says, whether the Luach Zmanim says. The Magen Avram says on this, V'im kein af shemuta lisa v'liten achar chatzos, even though it's mutter after chatzos. Mikardi, not a problem, based on the Ramah, lo yimshach ba'asakav. We should not get too drawn into our work, because still we should be focusing on the Avelus. So true, we're more lenient after Chatzos, but indeed, don't get too involved in the job. The Mishnah Berurah says as follows on that concept that we said that you're not going to see a Siman Bracha from your work. He says that applies even in a place that we are nohig, that we can work. And he says even after Chatzos, you're not going to see a Siman Bracha. And he says, Umashma migamora davka, here the real problem is doing work is when you have a kfiyas. You're sitting at your job, you're really involved in something for an extensive amount of time. That is when you have a problem. However, to do something quick, a quick issue, deal with a quick problem, maybe that's not as problematic. So I remember when I used to work for various companies, used to at Chatzos, I worked in fairly intense jobs, be it at the law firm and businesses, and come Chatzos, I would check my email, right? Chatzos, not before Chatzos, come Chatzos, check the email, see if there are any fires that need to be dealt with, but the point is don't get dragged into it. I would always daven early mincha, so that was between 1, and I knew I had to get to shul quickly, so I had just a few minutes, because mincha starting at 1:30, where I was, few minutes, check the email, I'm not kvikovei, I'm not having a kvius, I'm not having a meeting. I'm not having an extensive call or anything like that. Check the emails. Are there emergencies that need to be tended to? Tend to it quickly and then head out to shul. So that's what I would do. Okay, so let me recap real quickly where we stand, and then I want to add on a few heterim to this, even on Tisha B'Av. So we've said that when it comes to working on Tisha B'Av, the Mishnah, and this is how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, tells us it depends on the Minhag HaMakom. And the Minhag HaMakom is that we don't work, we're prohibited to work. If the Minhag HaMakom is that we do work, places that are lenient, it's permitted to work. But despite that, people should not work. And you're not going to see a Siman Bracha from that work. Nonetheless, we saw that we are more lenient after Chatzos. But even then, don't get too drawn into it. Our focus should be on the Avelus. Now, in fact, the poskim bring that there are three scenarios, three situations that we can be lenient to work even before Chatzos. Even before Chatzos, that we could be lenient in these situations. Number one, if it's a non-Jew doing work for us, meaning we're not doing the work itself, on Shabbos, on Yontif, there's a problem, we can't work and we can't tell a non-Jew to work. That's Amir La'akum, instructing a non-Jew to do work for us. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, it's not a problem. Why not? Because if the whole concern is, if I work, I'm taking my mind off the destruction of the temple, I'm not able to mourn, the non-Jew working for me, I'm not going to have a problem. He's working, I'm able to focus on the Churban. So not a problem if it's the non-Jew working. Then we had the mention of Chol HaMoed a number of times, the parallels between Chol HaMoed and Tisha B'Av. On Chol HaMoed, it's permitted to work if you have a Davar Ha'avid, if you're going to incur financial loss. There are treatises written on the definition of financial loss. So we're not going to get into that right now. But if there is something that is you feel is a financial loss, ask a shayla, and it would be permitted even before Chatzos to do work. Ideally, some of the poskim say do use a non-Jew, but some of the poskim say you don't have to use a non-Jew. If it's a davar habit, I'm going to incur a financial loss by not doing it, I would be permitted to work even before Chatzos. So that is indeed heter number two, to work on Tisha B'Av even before Chatzos. And number three, there are poskim that say that even before Chatzos, if it's really a quick issue, meaning not for work so much, but we mentioned this before, I need to do something like that would typically be prohibited, but it facilitates the day, as I mentioned, tying my double knot in my shoe, driving the car, stuff like that. Stuff that's not going to take the eye off the ball, right? It's not going to take my eye off off the avelus of the day, then indeed it would be permitted. So there we have it. It depends on minhag makom, but we should all be machmir. There are certain etayrim. Nonetheless, the chayyadim at the end of the day, and I'm going to wrap up shortly, says as follows, roi l'kol yirei shamayim, anyone who is God-fearing, should lahachmir al-atzma, should be machmir, should lalasos melacha kolayim, should not work the entire day, kedei shalo yasiach datom me'avelus, so that he doesn't take his mind off of the avelus. Many places, it's tough to sit and say kinos all day long, so they have videos. The Chavetz Chaim Heritage Foundation in various places have videos about the Churban and Sinas Chinam and Ma'avas Chinam. That's how typically, actually in Chutz Laretz, that's how I used to spend the day, is going to the videos in the afternoon. Here I've had a more difficult time finding the videos. There was the Chavetz Chaim video in Rechavia. It was at a certain place. And I showed up to it, very excited to see it, and it turned out that it was only for women. So I actually walked all the way up, and I was wondering why everyone was looking at me, and everyone was of the opposite gender, and then the lady at the desk kindly told me, this is for women, and then I subsequently made a mistake again the next year, forgetting, and I showed up, and it became a joke in the family that I try to get into the women's shir. Wasn't on purpose, so maybe they'll have one for men this year as well. Okay, so Lamaisa, where it comes out is, when it comes to the 9 days, on both of these topics, we're lenient. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, we should be machmir. And at this time of the year in general, as I mentioned, if we have a deal to sign, something special, some unusual, it's not a time that we have good mazel during the 3 weeks, especially during the 9 days, we should ask a shayla. I just want to mention one story somebody sent me. It's a little tough to read here because it's not clear, but the story is from the book. I think it's I don't even know what book it is, because I just have the story here, one page of it. It says that in the 1940s, the New York State Board of Regents sought to revoke the accreditation from a number of yeshivas. In the 1940s, they were going to revoke the accreditations of the yeshivas. Why? Because they didn't like that the yeshivas had Jewish studies in the morning and secular studies in the afternoon. And the Board of Regents, this is the accreditation board for the high schools, and I don't know what else in New York, they were of the view you need to have your secular studies in the morning when the students are fresher. Obviously, that doesn't work for us. We need to have it after davening. We start with davening. We have the Jewish studies teachers stick around after davening. We can't send them home and have them come in the afternoon, come back. And we wanted to have Jewish studies in the morning when we're freshest, and to teach the kids the lesson that is the ikar. Secular studies are also important, but we start off with Jewish studies. But they had the accreditation that was going to be revoked. So the hearing for the Board of Regents was set, and a number of prominent members, principals, were invited to attend the hearing to argue their case, why it was important for the Jewish schools to maintain the Jewish studies in the morning with secular studies in the afternoon. So a number of very prominent people went. They consulted with Rav Aaron Cutler, the founder and Rosh Yeshiva of the Lakewood Yeshiva, and he said that it would be a bechiya ledoros. It would be a lament for generations to come if we're forced to do this. It would have such a negative impact on the education in the yeshiva. So as it turned out, the hearing was on Tisha B'Av. And you have all of these prominent Orthodox Jews who, do we go on Tisha B'Av or not? He said, you have to go, go on Tisha B'Av. So they showed up, and they showed up unclean, right? They had stubble. Some of them had beards, that's fine, but they had stubble. They were not wearing leather shoes. They're showing up in sneakers, and there they are at the hearing. And that looks like a total slap in the face of the board to try to argue for your accreditation. So it says here as follows, says, when the board's attorney, she's representing the board was very hostile to the yeshivas. And their attorney, that's hostile of hostile. She was the daughter of Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis. Okay, so her name was Susan Brandeis, very against. So it says as follows, when she saw their unkempt appearance, she asked sharply, this is in front of everyone, in front of the board, in front of everyone, all the rabbanim, all the representatives of the Jewish community there, quote, is this a way to come dressed to a Board of Regents hearing? Look at you guys, what a chutzpah. So now they're cowering. We're in trouble. This is not good. They're already hostile, and this is how we're starting out. So Herbert Tanzer, who was a very prominent member of the representatives, he gets up and he explains as follows. Everyone else was cowering. We're up the creek here. This is a problem. So he gets up and says, and I quote part of what he said, "Today is the anniversary of the destruction of the temple in the year 70 of the Common Era. It is a law for Orthodox Jews to mourn and fast on this day. These men and I," he continues, "were at the synagogue praying at 6 this morning. We're not permitted to eat. We're not permitted to drink. We're not permitted to shave. We're not permitted to wear leather shoes today. It is a tragic and trying day for us, but because of our respect that we have for the board, we do not want to request a delay in this meeting. That is how important this meeting is to us. We want you to know how much we wanted to attend this hearing, and we also want you to know why we appear as we do." A very strong response. So right then, the room was silent. You had this attorney, Susan Brandeis, the daughter of a Supreme Court justice who attacked them. We have a proper response from Herbert Tanzer, and the room was silent. Then Owen Young, he's the chairman of the board of the Regents, who happens to also be the president of General Electric, fairly large company. He said quietly, "Miss Brandeis, I think you owe these gentlemen an apology." So that's an important message, Tisha B'Av. We have limitations. Sometimes when you have an urgent need like this, we can be flexible, ongoing, and doing what we need, but our default should be taking off and focus on the avelus of the day. Have a nice day.